Hey everybody, Max Kevin here. It's the Little Cutie Podcast, and today we got another guest. It's another comedian in Japan, Troy Lewis. Hi, Troy.
Hey, how's it going, Max?
Oh, great. Oh, how's your day going?
It's been a pretty normal day for me, but pretty crazy too. Yeah. At the same time, just having young kids, but got them out, got my day started. So
yeah, happy. Troy has three kids. Can you believe it?
Why wouldn't you believe it?
I don't know. I mean, today's modern society. It's, you know, you gotta. It's tough to raise the kids. You know, it's the population is declining. You know.
Yeah, the population. I think it's easier to raise kids now, but it's harder to have a life while raising kids because you can't just neglect your kids. The police will show up.
Yeah. Well, some people can.
They think they can.
So what's it like being a parent?
It's ass. Yeah. But I love my kids, you know.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
That's what most people say, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's hard, but I love my children, you know.
Yeah.
I want to meet that parent. It's hard, but I hate my children, you know.
Nah, they're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely out there. A lot of them just run away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like 20 years ago, I was working at Chili's, you know. And then we'd have these Chili's parties, you know, every weekend. And there was this one girl who worked there. She'd bring her baby every time, you know. She had this like 2-year-old baby she'd bring to the parties, but she didn't want to stop partying, you know? And she'd get drunk and the baby would just be sitting on the sofa there and everyone would just be like, yep, that kid's gonna have a messed up life, you know?
That was 20 years ago?
Yep.
Fucking, I wonder what that kid's doing now.
He's probably a drug addict. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Just like mommy. So, where do you get your jokes from?
Oh, man. My kids, mostly my kids, they just say dumb shit and I remember it.
Well, did you start doing comedy before you had children or after?
Yeah, I did. Before I had kids, a lot of my jokes were about drugs and women because, like that lady at Chili's, I also enjoyed doing drugs when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but...
I thought you said you weren't going to say anything incriminating on this podcast here.
So. No, I just said I was going to talk about work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I was a young man, I smoked a lot of pot and I talked about how it should be legal.
Yeah.
And all at that time, it started to become legal. So,
yeah.
Where I lived, at least.
Legalize it, dude. Yeah, not in Japan. Maybe 50 years from now, it'll be legal in Japan. I don't know. We'll see.
Those days are way past me, man. Can't...
Yeah, you know, you got to eventually grow up, I guess, you know?
Yeah, impromptu naps don't jive well with the wife.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you gotta grow up and take responsibility, you know? You can't just be partying all day, you know? You can't just be enjoying your life all the time, you know? You gotta take care of the kids, you know? You gotta...
Do you ever feel like you can't enjoy your life any of the time?
All the time. Basically, it's all I ever feel.
Yeah.
Don't... Joy, lemon, but oh well, anyway. So did you start doing comedy in America?
Yeah, I started in Ohio in 2014.
I see.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio, Shrunken Head, open mic.
How'd that go? Nights.
I ate a bunch of shit. My first time on stage, I just did a bunch of like self-deprecating jokes.
Yeah.
About...
Like what, your muscles aren't big enough or what?
Back then, I wasn't working out as much. Like, After college, I stopped working out for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I was over it. But my jokes back then were about like how lame I felt at my job, like working at a desk. Mm. And yeah, I thought that shit was whack.
Yeah, do you remember your first joke, the first joke you ever told?
Oh, yeah. So I signed up wrong, right? So instead of writing Troy, I wrote T-Roy. And then as soon as they called me up on stage, like, T-Roy Lewis, I immediately just felt really, felt some type of way. So the first thing I said was, yeah, my name's just Troy. I thought I could do T-Roy, but that's not me. And everybody just laughed. It was like, wasn't an intentional joke, but it was my first laugh.
Was that a typo? Or how did you put the dash in there intentionally?
I wrote it intentionally, T-Roy.
I see.
And I just regretted it immediately.
Yeah, I tried that too. You know, just Kevin.
Okay.
It didn't work.
Kavan.
K Evan.
You look like you could do Kavan, You just go up on stage in a purple do-rag.
Yeah. Is that... Kavan is my black name?
No. Well, no.
Oh.
you're not black. I was just saying.
Well, who wears do-rags?
I'm just saying you could do it, man.
White people don't wear do-rags.
White people most certainly do wear do-rags.
I've never seen a white guy wear a do-rag.
You've never seen Malibu's Most Wanted. Well, I see white people in do-rags yearly.
Yeah?
Yeah, once a year I see a white guy in a do-rag, and often it's hilarious.
Yeah. Maybe my perceptions have been skewed because I've been living in Japan so long.
Have you ever seen a Japanese person in a do-rag?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, all the time you see Japanese people in do-rags. You never go, oh, that Japanese person is black.
Yeah, but they have a weird fashion sense here, you know? They wear clothing that people in America would never wear.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially, like, when I first came here, like, the fashion for the young women was to dress up like old ladies from the 1920s. It was very popular fashion for young women to dress up like...
In the 1920s?
Yeah, old ladies from the 1920s.
Did they wear bonnets?
Yeah. You know, they had those style dresses, you know, that they were wearing, so...
I wrote a joke last weekend about bonnets.
Yeah.
About dressing old, because we did an Easter egg hunt, and... My father-in-law, he's a British guy, asked if there was a Easter bonnet parade.
Yeah?
I was thinking, like, how fucking old is this guy? he's about to die soon, like, an Easter bonnet parade. I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah. I left all my Easter clothing in America, you know, so gotta go back and get it.
Is that I don't know. Are you religious? You
go no. Home? No. No, not really. I mean, I guess my mother's family sort of was, but she never was. So yeah. We kind of grew up with those traditions, you know? We'd have Easter dinner or whatever. But, like, none of us really believed in everything, you know? So it's like, oh, it's Easter, time for the Easter bunny, you know?
Yeah. But you're West Coast, right? So, yeah. Like, in the Northeast, like, there's a term called WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people.
Yeah.
Right? So people, like, are identified by their religion, like, old churches and shit.
Because
it's, like, the cities are old as fuck. Is it like down the West Coast, like super religious, or is it just like culty out there?
Yeah, it's definitely cult. Yeah, I think in like, you know, the East Coast and the South, like everyone's like, oh, I'm Baptist, I'm Protestant, I'm da-da-da. But like on the West Coast, everyone's born again. Oh, everyone's born again Christian, and they're, you know, they're like the TV style Christianity, right, you know? Right. They're like, if you're gay, you're going to hell, you know, that kind of Christianity, you know? Yeah. My buddy's parents, they used to be druggies, they were born agains, you know?
I wonder if those people are right.
If what? We're all going to hell?
No, the one... What are you saying?
Huh? Nothing. I'm just saying... I'm a sinner is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, sometimes I wonder about who's right with the religions and shit.
Nobody,
yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what, you know... I wrote a poem once, you know? And I can't remember how it goes, but basically the whole idea that... God would write his message on a book. That doesn't make any sense, you know, because humans can, you know, change the contents of the book. So if God were to write a message, he would do it on something that no one could alter. And that message is, I guess, the laws of the universe, you know, is physics, you know. So.
Fuck, that's too deep for me, man. That's way too deep for me.
Okay, you want to go a little deeper? Okay, so then we can also, you know, we can think about what is true, what we believe to be true, right? Okay. And so I guess, okay. So I think, I've been listening to a lot of Jordan Peterson, you know, so he kind of changed my thinking about the Bible and the stories in the Bible, you know. So when I was in university, you know, I read like Nietzsche and Dostoevsky, you know, and I realized at the time my teachers didn't even understand it, you know. But now I think I finally do, you know, and basically the story of the Bible is that life is suffering, and that the only way to deal with that suffering is to voluntarily adopt responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, you know, the suffering, you create meaning out of the suffering, right? Your life has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I believe that to be true, right? And this is the story of Jesus, right? This is a story in the Bible.
Right.
Right. He sacrifices himself for the greater good. And I believe that to be true because it works. Because it actually works. You know, because by actually, you know, taking care of your kids, you know, it makes suffering worthwhile. Right? And it's not that you have to choose to believe it. You feel it. You know it, right? And if you do feel it and know it, it's because the laws of physics made you feel it and know it.
Mm.
So that it really is the truth that God wants you to know because you feel it. Does that make sense?
No. No, not in particular, but it sounded like you thought a lot about that and I.
So in a way.
I believe that you believe that shit.
I do believe the stories in the Bible are divine, but not in the way that the fundamentalist Christians think they are.
Okay, yeah, I agree that. I definitely feel that people believe shit, and I really think that they believe what they believe. Me personally, I don't know. I'm just living and trying to be happy and shit every day.
But then again, the entire universe makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, if you look at those, you ever look at those pictures from the Hubble Deep Field? You ever see that shit?
No.
It's okay. Hubble Deep Field, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they put a telescope. It's the size of your pinky nail in the sky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and they zoomed in on this, and there's like billions of galaxies.
Yeah.
You know, and each of these galaxies has trillions of stars. You know. Mm-hmm. And this is only in the observable universe, you know? Mm-hmm. It could be even bigger than
even
that.
Bigger,
and this is just a little pinky nail worth of, you know.
Yeah.
So what the hell, man? What are we, you know, what are we doing here? We're making fart jokes
in this. Yeah, we're talking in front of a microphone, man. That's what we're doing. That's what we can control, right? So it's like what you said. Just feeling like you're doing the right thing at that time is what you can do, right? So just try to make good choices and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, when I think about, like, the size of the universe, and we're so insignificant, you know, it really doesn't make any sense that the universe was created for our existence, you know, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think the universe is much bigger than what we have going on here, but what we have right now is what's going on here, so we gotta do our best. And with religion and shit, if whatever religion you practice makes you treat people the right way, then by all means go for it, you know.
Yeah.
Is this shit right? Is this shit wrong? I don't really think so, but I always think, what if these motherfuckers are right?
You know?
That's always a thought. Like, what if these guys are right?
Well, they're definitely wrong.
Well, who do you want to be wrong the most?
My parents, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope the Jews are right because they don't have the hell thing. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, everybody goes to heaven eventually. I think this is hell.
This is it.
You think this is hell?
This is hell. We're in it.
Yeah.
We're in it, man. This is it, dude.
I could believe that. I mean, sometimes. I think driving is hell sometimes.
Yeah.
In certain places. Traffic in Bangkok is hell.
You know it's hell? You ever see those videos of, like, the seal? The seal's just, like, sitting on a little iceberg, you know, like, just chilling with his fan, and then this killer whale just jumps up and grabs him, takes him into the... That's hell, dude. That's
fucking awesome.
That's... Like, yeah, but not for the seal.
I think the
seal
probably... That's probably a good way to go out if you're a seal, to be eaten by a whale, as opposed to something that takes its time. Being eaten by a wolf or something.
Yeah, or a bear.
That eats you by the asshole.
Yeah. That's this is kind of a depressing podcast here. What do you let's try to keep it light for the kids listening, you know?
So, let's keep it light.
So where do jokes come from?
Jokes come from life, man. I fucking got some good stuff, man. I feel like I got some good jokes.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah, what? You know, the great Norm MacDonald, he said, jokes come from the ether, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the muse will just whisper, you know, and you gotta, put your brain in that mindset to be listening to the muse, you know?
Mm.
So what do you do to, put your brain in the muse mindset, you know? So you can listen, so she can whisper in your ear, you know?
I mean, a lot of my jokes come to me, recently while I've been driving, I get a lot of ideas for jokes. Like, I'll be thinking about an idea, and then the words will come to me.
Yeah.
a lot of jokes come to me when I'm like in conversations with people about different things. So I'll have a conversation about something totally different and somebody will mention like maybe a movie or a TV show, and then I'll think about that show they're talking about and find a reference that makes a joke I was thinking about before make sense. Especially like roast jokes, because a lot of roast jokes are like pulling from obscure references that people may remember from before, right?
Mm.
So like a lot of times making an insult into a joke is, you know, how do I bridge the gap between mean and funny, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even I think the first time I did the roast there, you know, I thought it was supposed to be mean, you know? So like I was attempting to be mean, but now I don't even try to be mean. I just try to write jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like I think that makes more sense there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, roasting is fucking fun, but it's like one or two things. It's either like really fun or really weird.
Yeah,
it goes one of two ways.
If the you know, that's the problem is you can't test the jokes first, you know, so you don't know if they're gonna hit or not. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, you can test them though. You can just say them to random people.
Yeah,
like just say the joke to random people and see how they react to it.
Yeah, yeah. I was testing a couple on my friends this weekend. The problem is my friends are bad judges of what's funny.
You know? I test them on my mother-in-law because she barely speaks English.
Yeah,
I'll just be like, you look like you were mad about the casting of the Little Mermaid. Not because she's black, but because she's under 18. Mm. And she just goes, what? I'm like, oh, I think I got something.
Yeah, Troy and I are going to roast each other next week, you know? So we're doing this to, you know, sort of prepare for the roast. Have you written any roast jokes about me yet?
I haven't yet. I'm.
What do you want? What do you want to know? What do you want to know about me? You need some material?
Yeah, man. Tell me about 1998 for you. How was 1998?
That was the worst year of my life. Yeah, that was the worst year of my life.
That was the best year of my life.
Yeah, well.
Tell me about it. What happened?
Let's see. 1998, I was in 10th grade. I was still pretty fat. And, I remember this was in my my Algebra 2 class, you know? I was in this class, you know? With my buddy Blair, we set the highest grade on each test. He would get the highest grade, I would get the second highest grade, and I never did my homework, you know. And so the teacher, you know, she knew we were the smartest kids in the class, but I was always fucking around in the class, you know. And she separated us, you know, because I would just talk to him the whole time. I would talk to my buddy the whole time. And that class, everyone else was in 11th grade, you know. So me and Blair, we were. I guess 1 year ahead of the math because we didn't, you know, you got to take the test or whatever, you know?
Right.
And we passed the test, so. Everyone in that class was dumb. It's like Algebra 2. It's not, you know, it's pretty easy stuff, there? But there were some hot chicks in that class. Holy moly. And I remember this this one girl, she started she was talking to me, you know? And, like, I didn't really understand what was going on, you know, because no girl ever talked to me, you know? And, eventually I get the nerve to like ask her if she wants to hang out, you know. So we go see, this is when Star Wars came out, so we go see Star Wars Episode One, you know, and she'd never seen Star Wars before and she was so fucking bored, I think, the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
And
what were you doing?
And I was just thinking like, oh my god, I can't believe this, I'm hanging out with this hot ass chick, you know. That was the whole time, you know. That's what I was thinking. And, then we went back to my house, we jumped on my trampoline, yeah. I don't know if she was waiting for me to, like, I still, to this day, I don't understand, like, why she hung out with me, because I was, like, not attractive at all, you know? And, we never hung out again, actually, after that. that was the only time, you know?
You think she'd appreciate the Star Wars?
Yeah.
Where was this? Where were you going to high school?
This was Dana Hills High School in Dana Point, California.
Dana Point. It was by the ocean?
Yep. Yeah, there was a lot of rapscallions that went to that high school.
What was it like being fat by the ocean? Like growing up by the ocean.
It's fucking terrible, dude.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's terrible being fat everywhere. You know, it doesn't matter where you live, you know.
But by the beach, like, did you wear T-shirts to the beach and stuff like that?
I don't really go to the beach too much, you know. Yeah, I just I was a nerd. Played a lot of video games inside.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What games were we getting at? 98, that's what, Sega Genesis?
Yeah, we're playing StarCraft, you know.
Okay.
StarCraft, Diablo 2. That was N64. Tail end of N64. It's like PlayStation. Yeah, Final Fantasy 7, you know. PlayStation days. That was high school.
Yeah, that was a good time to be in high school, man. So after 2003, I guess, is when video game consoles just did not come out every year. Like, I remember it was like PlayStation 1 year, then N64, then Dreamcast, and then PlayStation 2 kind of came out like kind of sequentially, like within a short period of time. So it was like every Christmas you were asking for like a new console almost. Mm. Yeah,
I think back then they came out like, you know, there was the three different consoles, and there were
GameCube
and
Xbox.
Well, before that it was Sega.
Sega Genesis, yeah.
But then Sega died and then Xbox came out, you know, so. And they were coming out like every 5 years, I guess. So three companies every 5 years, yeah, that would be only like 2 years out of five. They would have no.
But the end of the 90s was kind of like bang, 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 right?
Yeah, because, you know, Sega, they released Sega Saturn, which flopped.
Handheld.
And then the last one was Dreamcast. That was their last hurrah, and that one also failed.
Yeah.
They lost to PlayStation 2. Sony took over.
And Microsoft.
Yeah, and then Microsoft came out with the Xbox. Xbox 360, Halo 2, DVD. Go on.
Halo is such a good game.
Yeah, that was fun. That was the college game we played, Halo. Yeah. The Gulch. What was that? What was the name of that level?
I don't know.
Something Gulch. Yeah.
I don't know. You're tapping into my marijuana days.
What was your first? What was your first video game system? Do you remember? I got the 8-bit Nintendo.
NES.
But,
yeah. Yeah, my brother had NES. Did Duck Hunter.
Yeah.
Was
Duck
a game
Hunt,
that he played a lot. Duck Hunt. And then we had a Genesis, a 64. We didn't get a Dreamcast. Oh, we had a PlayStation. And then PlayStation 2 was the last one my mom bought.
I see.
And then it was all on me after that.
Yeah.
I was working. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid, you know, I was on the baseball team, you know. We were selling chocolate bars for to raise money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sold enough chocolate bars, you could get a Super Nintendo. So, like, every day I was out in front of Target, you know, shilling these chocolate bars, you know.
Yeah.
And I eventually sold enough to get a Super Nintendo. I was really proud of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in high school, we did a chocolate bar fundraiser. And it wasn't for my high school. It was for some group I was a part of, maybe a sports team, maybe AAU basketball, I'm not sure. But every day, the kids in class would give me their lunch money for these chocolate bars. So I was just like, hey, like, what if I just sold candy all the time? So I used to go to Costco, and I would buy the... like for
the bulk,
yeah, $9, 26 or 36 packs of Skittles,
yeah,
and then I would sell those. I sold out in like a day, so the next day I went back, I got Skittles and Starburst, and then I got the Airheads, and I had everything, and that was just kind of how I had money in high school, like how
it's
I
business,
made money.
Man,
yeah, man,
yeah,
my high school days were good,
yeah, you should have, you know, the real money's in drugs, though, you know,
that was later,
yeah,
that was later, and it was very good, very profitable.
But
those are my early jokes were all about that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's how little kids grow up. You know, you switch from candy to weed.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the candy because you're high.
Which one's better? Yeah. We don't know. We'll never know. You'll never know.
Well, sugar is probably the most addicting thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily, yeah. Right? Easily. It's so hard to quit sugar.
Yeah.
It's so hard. I tried like once. It lasted a morning maybe, lunchtime. I went and bought Oreos. I never fucking eat Oreos, but I just needed some sugar.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, if your blood sugar's low, you get a little cranky, you know.
No, I get cranky. I get cranky over anything these days.
Oh yeah, are you easily annoyed? Do you want to talk about it? What's wrong?
What annoys me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I get easily annoyed. I get I get annoyed when I feel like I'm not being heard or being understood.
What's that? I wasn't listening.
Yeah, exactly, right? But yeah, I give very simple directions, like very, because I'm used to talking to small children.
Yeah.
So I give very concise directions when I need something to be done. And when it confuses people, like my mind automatically goes to, like, is this person retarded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, you know, I've also realized as I've grown older that everyone is dumber than me, so.
No. No, I just, yeah. I wish everybody was dumber than me, but the truth is.
No, I think most people are dumber. I don't think you realize how many dumb people, how many children they have, you know? So you know, okay, there's the IQ distribution or whatever, you know? So everyone's, I think it's skewed to the left there, you know?
Yeah.
Because the dumb people have too many children, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot more dumb people than smart people.
Yeah.
And the problem with, so like, everybody's dumb when they're children. And then hopefully you learn some shit, yeah? Some people never learn shit. And then they just stay on that dumb end. Or they just stop learning at some point. Stop reading. You know, who the fuck knows, man? But there's dumb people everywhere. There's smart people everywhere. But there's a lot more dumb people than smart people, you're right. I think that I don't get annoyed by dumb people. I get annoyed by just not listening. Because there's some dumb people who are great listeners, and you can get a lot of shit done with them. But there's nothing more frustrated than a person who is just not an active listener. You know?
What's that?
Yeah, right? I'm not frustrated. But, dude, what the fuck is going on, Max?
Huh? With what?
Everything, man.
The world?
No, with you, man. What's going on?
Oh, just relaxing. You know, just enjoying my allergy season.
Oh, what's up with your allergies? I didn't know you get allergies so bad. I saw you in the glasses yesterday.
The other day. Real bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Forever?
Well, this is the most difficult time right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically all year.
But it started when you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was like a teenager, I got asthma.
You have asthma?
Yeah.
You have albuterol?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Albuterol, Advair, Unifil.
Yeah.
I guess I got it when I became a fat kid, you know?
Yeah, fatness.
And then I started working out. It kind of went away when I was like 25, I guess. Never really had it again. And then the COVID came and it kind of came back.
Right, you know? Yeah.
So I don't know if it was the goddamn China virus or if it was the vaccine or whatever, but it's kind of back now, you know, so it's really annoying.
Don't talk no shit about China, man.
It's long COVID, yeah.
Don't talk shit about no China, man. China. Oh, yeah?
They following you? Yeah, Troy used to live in China, so he's a communist, I guess.
Yeah, well, fuck, I don't know if I'm a communist, but I do like China, man. China's cool as shit.
What made you move out to China there?
Move out there?
Well, yeah, from, you know, you were living in Ohio doing comedy.
Ohio.
Masturbating every day.
Yeah.
Because you were lonely.
Yeah. I actually quit masturbating when I moved to China.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I did.
You just pay the Chinese girls to do it for you, or what?
Well, yeah. Pretty much. No, the rub and tug thing is real. Like, every massage place is automatically, they call it dafeji. Yeah, so if you want dafeji, hit the airplane.
Yeah.
And that just means, you know, hand job at the end.
I see.
It's like $15 full body massage and jack off, but
$15.
Yeah,
most I'm gonna pay is $12.50.
Yeah, you can haggle anything in China too if you want to, if you're that person. I just kind of went with the flow of things. I wasn't a big massage guy, but I had some friends who were.
I don't really enjoy that because you know I don't like paying people. I want them to like me. You know what I mean? I want them to want me. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to be wanted.
It's nice to be wanted by somebody.
Nobody wants me.
Nobody. You're married.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants me. I reiterate. Nobody.
You have a dog, man.
I reiterate.
Your dog wants you.
He likes her more, actually.
I mean, naturally, yeah. I mean, okay. I understand that.
Okay, so what made you move out to China from Ohio? Yeah.
Man, I just was tired of it. You know, like...
But why China?
Oh, Because, why? Oh, so when I was in college,
Chairman Mao?
No, my minor was urban and regional studies, so I took a lot of city and regional planning courses, and we took a green cities class.
Yeah.
And we learned about a city called Shenzhen, China, which was like, it was a fishing village in the 1960s with like 70,000 people. And then the leader at that time, I think his name was like Deng Xiaoping. He decided that this was going to be China's center for technology.
Yeah.
And he just made a special economic zone. So they got money from their province, Guangdong, and they got money from the Chinese national government to just build up the infrastructure there. So it went from 70,000 people in the 70s to 20 million people in the 2010s.
Yeah.
And it's just a huge tech city. So this is, it's called China's Silicon Valley. Mm. And it's all green planning. So all their major roads are lined with sprawling green parks. It's warm all year. And I always thought, like, when I was learning about this place, that was pretty cool. So I wanted to check it out. And I just moved there, and I realized that China's pretty, pretty freaking cool, man. It's a cool place. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
And what did you do there when you were living there?
I worked.
Do you want to not talk about the work?
No, I can talk about it a little bit. I did some logistics there. I worked in logistics in Ohio, and I had an opportunity to help my friend with his company in Shenzhen as well. And I also got into English teaching.
I see. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful English
teaching. And how long did you live in China there?
3 years.
Yeah? Did you do any comedy over there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Big time.
Are they allowed to laugh in China? I heard they're not allowed to laugh.
Oh, no. They're big laughers there.
Yeah?
They go to the shows and... Yeah, So Shenzhen's on the border of China and Hong Kong. So I was doing shows in Hong Kong 3 or 4 times a week. And then Shenzhen 2 or 3 times a week. And then... doing shows in other cities in China like Dongguan, Guangzhou, and Xiamen, to name a few. But mostly a lot of shows in Hong Kong and then Shenzhen. Hong Kong's English-speaking British colony.
Yeah, it was.
Was. And then there's a pretty big expat community in every city in China, actually.
Yeah.
Lots of expats. And then you get to know, you all know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
So what? How does China compare to Japan?
The people are loud. It's louder there.
Yeah.
It's louder, and there's more people outside all hours of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're never alone. There's always, like, if you walk out on the street, there's always someone out there. Mm.
It feels like Japan, we're always alone, you know, even when we're surrounded by other people.
Yeah, because they're all sneaky.
Yeah.
They're all sneaky here.
They don't share their feelings, you know.
Yeah.
Even when you get married to them, you know, they never tell you how they truly feel.
Speak for yourself. My wife has no problem telling me how she feels all the time. Nonstop.
I feel like your wife might have more of a different, you know, because if she lived in China too, you know, there's not many Japanese people that would move to China, you know, so she might have a different outlook on life than most Japanese people, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, she fucked off to China when she was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lived there for a long time. But I don't know why. I don't know why she wanted to leave. She should have stayed in China. We could have stayed there and...
Yeah, become official members of the party, the CCP.
I don't think they would accept foreigners in the CCP, but...
No?
No, we would just live there and benefit from the government's...
Not even Lenin? What if Lenin came back to life? Do you think they would let him in? Yeah.
He could visit. I don't think Chinese one China, bro. That's one China. Not China.
I mean, how big is the one? You know, one China is like what? Tibet, Taiwan. They want to take all that back, right? Do they want Mongolia too?
Yeah, Korea.
Korea. They want Korea too.
That's the East China Peninsula, Korea. Yeah.
Nobody wants Korea.
The
anymore.
East China Island, Japan.
Yeah, that's all part of China.
Japan
also wanted China, you know.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
They took a little bit. Took a little bit of it.
How'd that work?
Well, America came to the rescue.
That's right. And don't forget it.
Why do you want to be a comedian? Why do you tell jokes?
Why do I tilt? I don't know, man. You gotta think about that some other time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like I don't really do jokes anymore.
I guess what made you want to do it in the first place, or what made you think you could do it? You know.
The reason I did it is because someone told me I should try it, and yeah. I just was like, I'll try it.
Anyone ever tell you should try porn? You should.
Not in those words, no.
No?
No. But, yeah.
I mean, are you just one of those people that's like, Troy, try this? And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Like, at that time, I had a lot of shit going on, right? I'm like, I'll try anything.
Yeah. I'm like, Troy, put this China, in your mouth. You're like, okay.
I moved to China, man. Like, I'll try things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if somebody said, put this in your mouth, I'd be like, you first.
Like, I mean, I guess in the Chinese food there, you know, you must have been trying a lot of different things. You know, it's like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to put it in my mouth and find out, you know?
No, not really. I ask what it is first.
I see.
But then I'll still go with it, right? So, like, I went to a barbecue place after playing basketball once, and they brought out this, like, bird, and they were eating the legs. And I was like, this is pretty small to be a chicken. And I was like, what is this? And they're like, they couldn't translate it. And they're like pointed to a pigeon, and like it's a, like, oh, it's a pigeon. I'm like, all right, tried it.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ate some balls, some goat balls.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain oysters, I guess.
Did that invigorate you?
No, but it was delicious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Goat balls are delicious.
Yeah, I love goat balls, man.
Yeah. What?
A little bit of cumin.
What if like. That was the most delicious food you could ever eat. It's just like other animals' balls, you know?
What if that's the most delicious part of other animals, yeah?
I mean, it makes sense, you know?
What? How?
Because, you know, it's the most treasured body part of any animal, you know, so...
Oh, the family jewels.
Yeah, it's got to be... You know, it's the least amount that they want to get... They don't want to give it up, you know?
It's tender.
So it's got to be the most delicious, you know? It's the most difficult... It's more just difficult treasure to attain, so it has to be the most delicious, you know?
I don't know about that, man. I'm thinking I can't get behind that. I just think, like,
It's evolution,
you know? You think balls... I think it's probably the most tender part of an animal, just because it hurts when you touch... Like, when you get hit in the balls, you know?
Yeah.
So it's probably just tender and shit, but... I don't know about most delicious. It depends on what you like, because I like a good, you know, like... A good flank steak or something, you know? Like,
yeah, my gay friend told me human balls were very delicious.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What else did he tell you?
He also told me... he told me there's no better feeling when another guy's eating your ass and his whiskers are rubbing up against your butt cheeks. He told me that, too.
See? Actually. Yeah, your friend, man. Yeah. Your friend is funny.
He doesn't do comedy. But he does like to... In our group chat there, he does like to just randomly tell us about his things that feel good.
His gays.
From his perspective. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And no one ever asks, you know, so we're all, oh, thanks. Thanks for letting us know. It's good. You learn something new. The more you know, you know. Remember the rainbow?
Yeah, the more you know. Dude, I don't know, man. Tell me about, so we talked about 1998.
Yeah.
Tell me about college for you.
Let's see. Well, I changed majors 3 times.
Mm.
I went to university for 6.5 years.
Van Wilder?
Yep. But that's because I changed... I graduated with almost double the credits that I needed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Originally I was a computer science major, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I took that class, it was... the teacher was kind of quite bad.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know most computer science people, they're... not very good at communication. Like most of them have autism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Elon Musk there,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Big time.
And you got to think, if you're a decent programmer, you probably would never become a teacher, cuz the salary is like 20% of what you could make in industry, you know? So, anyway, almost everyone in that class were huge nerds and they had already taught themselves. Like all of my programming friends, none of them took a class, really. They all just taught themselves, you know, by like reading books and using the internet and stuff. But there I was thinking like I would learn something in this class, but basically all the other students had already knew everything. And the teacher didn't really feel like explaining stuff that they already knew, so I didn't learn shit in that class. And then I failed the second year of calculus. That was the first time when I took calculus. That was the first time I had to study, you know, for math. Like, it didn't, I just automatically click, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't. I guess I went my whole high school life without ever really learning how to study.
Right.
You know. And then when I took that class, I was like, "What's that? What's a derivative? Mm. Why can't I do this in my head?" You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I still remember that day. I was taking a shower. I was sitting in the shower and I was like, "Oh God, I gotta go to this class. I don't know what I'm doing with my life." You know, and then I decided to change my major, which is kind of disappointing, you know, because, like, I kind of, in high school, I was always thinking I was going to be a computer programmer and, like, make video games and stuff. And then I just kind of gave up on that, you know, after a little bit of diversity, a little bit of problems, you know. First sign of problems, I gave up. It's basically, that's kind of the story of my life there, you know.
Yeah.
No integrity.
Was it like a big calculus lecture, or was it like a calculus section?
I guess there was like 30 kids in the class. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was at community college, so there weren't really too many big lectures.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, then I changed my major to philosophy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then I went to UC Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about UC Santa Cruz?
I know it's in Santa Cruz.
Yep. So it's in the middle of a redwood forest there.
Okay.
And thing about the UC system, there's like, I don't know, there's 15 schools or whatever, and UC Santa Cruz is the only one that let you not take a letter grade. You could just do pass fail.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a notorious hippie school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like everyone, I told my teachers I was getting transferred up there, and all, they're like, "Oh, you're gonna love it up there. Oh, it's great." And then I get up there and it's like, it's raining every day, you know, because I'm from Southern California where it's sunny every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up there and it's raining every day, and like all the girls are fat and ugly. I'm just really depressed, you know. And I'm in this apartment with three other dudes, and it was a 2-bedroom apartment, and two of my friends, they each got one room, and then me and my other buddy, we shared the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're fucking poor. So, and then that dude was an alcoholic, and he was also angry and depressed, and he liked to, you know, take out his anger on me, you know? So that was a very stressful year there, you know, and during that year, that was my first foray into the, what I would call the, what are they called? That philosophy, postmodernist philosophy there, you know? A lot of the teachers there are hippies and stuff, and so I remember then immediately I changed my major from philosophy to English, right? And I had to take these literature classes, you know, and I kind of signed up late, and the only thing left was like queer theory, you know? So I go to this class, and it's like, you know, I'm assuming this woman's a lesbian, you know, and she's giving this lecture, and I just counted the number of times that she kept saying like, yep. And like she gave a lecture for an hour and basically said absolutely nothing. Like, I didn't understand. It was total nonsense. Like, her sentences didn't even make sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
she was incapable of making a rational sentence. And the whole time I'm sitting there looking around like, am I the only one that realizes this is, what the fuck is this? This is not even, what the fuck's going on here? You know? And, I didn't even understand, like, what that class was, like, what they were attempting to teach. Like, it was called queer theory, right? It was, I'm assuming it was supposed to be about gay people or something. I had no idea. I still can't even remember, like, anything
from that class.
Yeah, there was nothing. Anyway, and I was also taking German class for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And my German teacher is actually very good. And he basically taught me, like, how to study and language acquisition theory, and I really liked that class, and so I decided to change my major to German. And then so I needed more German classes, you know, so then I went back to community college. That was another thing, is I was sick of living in Santa Cruz. I hated my roommates, and the university tuition was too expensive, so then I went back to Southern California, live with my mom, and take another year at community college studying German.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and then I transferred to UCI, which is UC Irvine, which is in Southern California, which had, I was a minority there, you know, it's like 90% Asian and Indians.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And that school's like it's like a medicine and engineering school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's like 50% Chinese, 30% Indian, 10% white, and 10% other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so of course I got accepted there because I was studying German, and there was more German teachers than German
students
majors, right? Yeah. There was like six of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So of course they accept me, you know, because at that point I still hadn't realized what a giant scam universities are, where you know they just want you, you know, you they just want your money. It's like, yeah. Oh, you want to study German? Okay, yeah, yeah. Fine, thanks. Give us $15,000, and we'll teach you something you can learn on the internet for free.
Yeah.
You know? And so that year was pretty fun, and then I studied abroad in Germany. Went to Berlin for a year. That was fun.
Oh, nice.
That was good times.
What year?
2004. I went to, let's see. I was turning 20. It was 2006.
Oh, nice.
2006, 2007 is when I went to Germany.
The euro was still fairly fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like right after unification there. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was mid Iraq war too, you know, so like so like
you were a big asshole.
A lot of people I bet there were like fucking Americans,
yeah. Yeah.
I was like, "What do you want me to do then?" And but yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. Met some cool people from around Europe. And yeah, I had a German girlfriend. That was fun. That was cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
A lot of butt stuff.
No, she wasn't into that, you know, she wasn't into that, but, you know, she was pretty German, you know, she had a pretty German body, I guess I would say. It was nice.
It was just fat. What do you mean, fat titties?
Hey, yeah, they were pretty nice. Yeah, yeah. They were pretty German. Little contrast compared to the Japanese, endowments, but, you know. Yeah, and then I came back to America, and then I graduated, and then I worked at Chili's. Then I continued to work at Chili's, yeah. I was working at Chili's my entire college career, you know, so mm-hmm. I worked at Chili's for like 8 years. And then, then I was still working Chili's like 2 years after I graduated. I tried to get a job at Blizzard Entertainment, you know, the computer game company,
mm-hmm.
As a German language game tester.
Yeah.
But they wanted a. Then I realized in the interview that they wanted a native speaker.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, all right. And that was like the only. That was my only job prospect, you know, because I still wanted to work in the video game industry.
Right.
At that time, and I had this German degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no marketable skills at all. You know?
Yeah.
So that was like my only hope, was working at Blizzard as a German language game tester. You know, and then in the interview, they're like, oh, yeah, we kind of need a German native speaker, and I was like, oh. Probably should have put that in the
description.
Yeah, thanks for.
Or you could have lied about it in the interview, but.
Well, no, they gave me a test and everything. They could definitely tell. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was disappointing, you know. So I worked at Chili's a couple more years, and then decided to become an English teacher over here in Japan, because I always wanted to come to Japan.
Tell me about your experience with the Southwest egg rolls at Chili.
Oh, yeah, everybody loves those. Those are good. Yeah, you know, a lot of people would order, you know, they don't want the employees eating food, but, you know, people always mess up orders, you know, and then there's the stuff just sitting in the window, you know, we're supposed to throw it away. Then everyone would, like, look around and be like, all right, manager's not here, let's go in the back quick, you know, and we go, go in the back, we'd all scarf them down.
What's your favorite item on the menu?
I guess the burgers are pretty good.
The burgers?
Yeah, they got pretty good burgers.
I go to Chili's fairly often these days.
Yeah?
Yeah. I work right next to the Chili's, so.
Well, the menus are changing every year. You know they gotta.
Yeah, I just go for the appetizer sampler deal, mozzarella sticks. And the Southwest egg rolls.
Still got the Bloomin' Onion. Did they get rid of that?
I haven't seen it.
The Awesome Blossom.
The Awesome Blossom. I got a Bloomin' Onion.
Those fucking things were so hard to make. They messed them up so many times, you know, because, they cut the onion up, and then they dip it in the batter,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you put them in the oil to fry, and, like, half the time the
batter falls off.
It wouldn't separate, mm-hmm. right? So there'd just be half of it would all be clumped together and uncooked, you know?
Mm.
So those things were a huge, huge waste of time and money, you know? Like half of them wouldn't cook right.
Not necessarily a waste of money though. Like, cause how much is an onion?
Yeah. Well, it's just the time it takes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they cook it in there for 6 minutes or whatever, and then it doesn't even come out right, and then they got to do it again, and then it backs up the kitchen, and everyone's yelling at each other, like, oh, God.
Yeah. People getting pissed off. We didn't buy onion.
Yeah, and then your table's like, I've been sitting here for 30 minutes. Where's my onion? And like, okay, well, it's been 12 minutes, so, yeah.
Dude, tell me about your roommates in Santa Cruz by name.
Okay. What were their deals? There was Travis. His family was quite rich. They owned a lot of property in Dana Point. And
you went up there with him?
Yeah, they actually they were a year behind me. Mm-hmm. But they went directly. They after graduating high school, they were admitted there immediately. Mm-hmm. Right? So I went to 2 years of
community college, right?
So they had already been there a year. And they lived in the dorms. And then,
we got a house.
Yeah, then we had got an apartment there. And then my other buddy, Blair, who, his family was not rich, but his mom was able to pay for his, I guess his dad is pretty, rich. So I guess his dad is probably paying for his room now that I think about it. But, all of them were, I guess we're all kind of nerds, you know? They're kind of not very social guys, you know?
Yeah, Blair, you said Blair was your friend from Algebra high school. 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah.
Same dude there. And, he would just kind of sit in his room. He was also bored out of his mind. And, everyone, we're all disappointed in the quality of women moving from Southern California, which probably has, like, some of the most beautiful women in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go up there, and it's just raining every day, and there's just, like, ugly, ugly fat chicks everywhere, and you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, in the forest. Yeah. Just forest trolls.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that sounds awesome.
Okay, there was one good looking girl, right? She's a red-haired girl who worked in the library. Right? Mm-hmm. And all four of us, we had never seen her together, but we all knew who she was, because she was the one hot chick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the entire school. So everyone knew who this girl was. That's pretty funny.
Oh, man. I like ugly girls, so
yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate a nice ugly woman. So yeah. I probably would have liked Santa.
Well, you only do doggy style, right? So it doesn't really matter.
No, man, I get freaky with it, man. Super freak, but it's okay. But yeah, I grew up in Germany, man. I grew up in Germany, so you know.
So what? What are you implying?
It's a lot of weird looking bitches in Germany, man.
Yeah.
A lot of weird ones, and I like them. I like them a lot. I like them a whole lot.
The blonde girls?
Yeah. With the weird little haircuts.
I'm fairly certain there's a very specific genre of porn with black guys and blonde girls.
Is there?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know.
It's all I watch. Porn, man. It's the only thing I watch, actually.
What's it called? Black on blonde?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Black, blonde.
Yeah.
Bisex?
Something.
Doobies?
Something.
I don't know. I don't get to.
I think it's just called Bad Decisions.
Yeah, it is Bad Decisions messing with those blondes. The devils. Ugh.
So don't you miss sausages?
Nah.
No?
I don't miss anything about Germany, actually.
Bratwurst?
Bratwurst. Currywurst. I was a child.
Yeah, that was another depressing thing about Germany, though. It was just cloudy and rainy every day, you know?
You were in a different part of Germany. Yeah. I was in southwest Germany. It was nice.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, in Berlin, the weather's terrible every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rainy. I feel kind of, you know, being raised in Southern California, I'm kind of spoiled when it comes to the weather, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's sunny. You would like Shenzhen, except it's humid. Yeah. I don't know how you deal with humidity.
Yeah. Well, I also like being able to speak ill of the government without being arrested, so I don't know if I would like...
Why do you like to speak illy of the government?
It's my hobby. Fuck the government, am I right? Or do you work for the government?
Yeah, I work for the
government. Fuck the government, am I right?
Nah, man. My opinions. Government's great, man. The government's the best.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about all governments.
Yeah.
Are great.
North Korea.
Great leadership. Cuba.
Who's the greatest chairman? Chairman Mao? Chairman Xi?
My mom. She runs our house.
I don't think they let women become the...
Wonderfully.
Are women allowed in the CCP there? I don't even know.
Are you serious?
I don't even know.
Of course, man.
Yeah. I've never seen them on the TV.
You know, the president of... Or the CCP's the CCP supported the president of Hong Kong during the riots. Her name was something Carrie Lam.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a woman, man.
That's a Chinese name, Carrie Lam?
It's a Hong Kong name.
Yeah.
Carrie Lam.
Lam, I feel like Lam is not a Chinese name. You know?
L-A-M is a very common name.
Oh, I was thinking that with
like
the B.
It's like super common.
I was thinking with the B, you know? L-A-M-B.
Lam, it's pronounced Lam.
Lam.
Yeah, there's an area of Hong Kong called Lam Kwai Fong.
Yeah.
LKF. And it goes down there. Have you been to Hong Kong?
Nope.
That's a good place to go.
Yeah.
No, you're married, but...
Well, before,
like, as a
maybe
single,
before COVID.
A single person, Hong Kong is such a fun city because it doesn't sleep, you know? It's small.
Yeah.
You know, there's a...
What do you think? Do you think China released the coronavirus to stop the Hong Kong protests? I think that's what happened.
Do you think that's what happened?
Maybe.
Man, that's crazy.
I mean, those things were getting out of hand, you know? It was going almost a year there, you know? They weren't stopping.
Yeah, I was there during that time. The day I was moving, we were driving past... So the week I moved, the week before, they were blockading... The protesters were blocking people from going to the Hong Kong airport. And we flew out of the... We always fly out of the Hong Kong airport because there's a Popeyes there and I'm black. So anytime that we were leaving China, we always used the Hong Kong airport. The week before, so we were like, oh man, what if they block our flight the day... Blocked the airport the day of our flight. But luckily there was nothing. It used to be that people could go into the airport and like walk around and do shit there. But they just had to... The government had to completely block off the airport so protesters wouldn't come and interrupt flights. I was doing comedy shows and I used to be late because I would take the bus down.
Yeah, like, typical like black guy.
30-minute bus. I wouldn't be late to the show. I'd be late getting to Hong Kong because the protesters were just everywhere. It was pretty intense, but
yeah.
At the same time, nobody was mad. Like taxi drivers, they weren't mad the roads were being blocked.
Yeah.
They were like kind of supporting them.
Yeah.
It was weird. But yeah.
And the chairman was like, okay, we got this virus, you know, it'll kill fat white people and it'll probably stop the protest. It's two birds with one stone.
Oh my goodness, what if that was true? What if that was
true? I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems a little too obvious for me, so I tend to think that's not what happened.
Well, I guess you know, they say not to let conspiracy explain what stupidity or what is it? What is it? Something like don't believe a conspiracy is when it can just be explained by dumb people fucking up.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a feeling it's a lot deeper than that, and I think I'm right.
About what?
The virus, it's much deeper than just, you know... Yeah, I think it's more of a clandestine thing than a...
I don't know what clandestine means.
I don't think that it's like some big government thing to mess up some people like this. I
oh,
think
no,
it
conspiracy?
Was, yeah. I think that there's some foul play, but I think it was done by a group of individuals who were like had a certain agenda, but not necessarily... From a big government entity. Yeah.
So what are your comedic goals? What do you want to... You want to be a famous comedian? What do you want to...
No. I want to do jokes. I want nobody... I want to make great jokes that people laugh at.
Yeah.
But nobody knows where they came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to invent a new style of jokes. Like your mama jokes.
Mm.
That everybody just kind of knows one or two.
Yeah.
But nobody knows where they came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite the goal there, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to need your help.
Yeah, I guess my goal, too, is just to write that perfect joke that transcends society, you know, kind of like Mitch Hedberg, his escalator joke. You know, everybody knows that. Yeah? Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you know, I want to write that perfect joke that...
But he has a lot of perfect jokes, though.
Yeah, well, he was that good.
Yeah, exactly.
But for me, I'm not that... I just want the one. You know, I just want the one perfect joke that... eventually becomes so popular that everyone in the world knows it, you know? That's my goal there.
Yeah.
Just need that one.
But are you afraid that if you make the perfect joke that people are just gonna rip it off?
Well, you know, who can, no big deal.
They'll just
you know, when I was in San Diego, there was a joke stealer there.
Oh, yeah?
That was a joke stealer, yeah. He, and actually, I kind of defended him, you know? Because, like, he did these, like, kind of one-liner kind of jokes there, you know?
Oh, no.
And, like, some other people were... And this was, like, when I just moved there, you know? I'd only been in the scene a couple months, you know? And a couple of people were calling him out for stealing jokes.
Really?
And I kind of defended him. I was like, come on, well, these jokes are one-liners, you know? They're kind of easy to write.
Easy to think of.
Yeah. And then like, 6 months later, I did a joke. And then, like, the week after that, he did almost the exact same joke that I did on stage. And I was like, you motherfucker.
Did you kick his ass?
You mother... No, he was bigger than me. Yeah.
So?
So but I'm no longer friends with him on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so that's basically...
He's learned his lesson.
I kicked his ass in the social media.
Social media.
Yeah, I just kind of... I don't really understand people that steal jokes or...
Yeah, what do you get from it?
Like what's the... Why would you ever do that? Like, for me, the whole enjoyment is thinking of the joke and then...
Getting the
reaction. If I didn't think of it, there's no... You know, it's like watching some other dude fuck my wife or whatever, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
Who likes that, you know?
Yeah.
They're right up there with cuckolds, these joke thieves.
Yeah, no. The people who... The joke thieves wouldn't be the cuckold. The people who get their joke stolen and go, that's okay.
Yeah.
Those are the cuckolds.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of people that accuse others of writing jokes or stealing jokes when really it's just like parallel thinking.
It's a hack joke,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you heard, I have this one joke about Onani, coming from the German Onaniden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in order to write this joke, you have to speak English, Japanese, and German, right? So,
yeah, yeah.
So it's not like... There's probably a small number of people, a small number of comedians that speak English, Japanese, and German that could come up with this joke, right?
Yeah.
And when I first started doing comedy in Tokyo, like 6 months later, there was a visiting comedian,
mm-hmm.
and he was Jewish, and... In Yiddish, it's the same.
It's the same as German.
It's the same, similar, right?
Yeah.
So he also had thought of the joke,
yeah.
Right? And I remember watching that at the time, and there's no way the guy, I mean...
No way he saw your joke.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, dude. I thought this was actually an original joke, so... So there is that aspect where a lot of people just think of similar things, and, you know, there's 6 billion, 8 billion people, so...
Yeah.
But then there are other comedians that just watch... old people's specials from the 1980s and just steal those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now we have AI. AI is going to be writing jokes for people. See, that's what I really worry about, is I feel like
these... I go to TCB sometimes and I listen to... Well, I don't want to... Yeah. But I listen to some things and I just think, like, that's not... Because it's not funny enough for a person to have thought of this.
You mean they're bad? Or not.
Yeah, just bad jokes.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I don't think you wrote this joke, because there's no way that a human would think that something like this, or a person who's done comedy before, would think that this would work on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are terrible at comedy.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
There's that, yeah.
But I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. So, like, if you suck, just blame it on AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to go now.
But I do worry, like, these hack comedians or these joke thieves, you know, they're going to start using AI and no one's going
to... It's going to be obvious, though. It's going to create a new style of comedy and everyone's going to be able to tell immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm already getting there, like, okay, this isn't a joke.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows what the future will bring, you know? All right, it's been about an hour. Should we wrap this up? Do you want to keep going? Do you wanna? Can you last? Is there? Are you all right? You're not.
Let's wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up.
Wrap it up, G.
Anything else you want to say to my listeners? All three of them. To my mom.
Yeah, you three people. You guys are great. Yeah, you guys keep using those ears. Keep listening. You'll make somebody's day.
They probably turned it off already.
Don't turn it off already. Wait until. All right, now.
All right. Thanks for listening. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow.